Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The South can expect several soggy days, at least through Wednesday of this week. After a rain-soaked weekend, look for some more rain across Texas through Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, and on into Georgia, the Carolinas, and on up through the East Coast, including Pittsburgh, Philly, New York, and up into Boston and New England. Some of that rain will turn to some light snows in Massachusetts and some lake effect snow flurries to the east of the Great Lakes. We'll see a half inch of rain in Dallas, 1 to 2 inches of rain in Atlanta, Memphis, Nashville, a half inch in the nation's capital, New York, even Florida gets into the act. Walt's daughter will see about an inch or two up in Syracuse, New York. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
At midnight, it's very important information. At midnight, there's a national event, 9 p.m. Eastern, midnight East Coast, 9 p.m. Pacific. I'm new at this. Justin Bieber's birthday. On this day in history, the legend John Drew Bieber was born. March 1st, 1994, at 12:56 on a rainy Tuesday in London, Ontario, at St. Joseph's Hospital in room 126. So you can visit that. On the second floor, he was born 10 pounds, 7 ounces to Patty Millette and Jeremy Bieber. And look at that. Now he's worth about $100 million. He's married to a beautiful Baldwin. Mm-hmm. And he's still Canadian.
Yes.
This is my daughter, Dorothy Sterling. She's going to reveal to us the secrets of going to a major university in quarantine. Mm. Now, where do you live at the major university?
I live on East Campus. I live in the fifth tallest building in the city.
Syracuse,
yes. I live in Lawrenson Hall. And, yeah, it's only about 5 feet away from being the third tallest building in Syracuse.
What year was it built?
I think sometime in the 60s.
Because in the mid-60s when it was built, it was shortly thereafter that they stopped building anything in Syracuse.
Yeah.
That's why it's the third tallest building. Nothing new has been built since then because, why? 50 years ago, it was the 50th largest city in America.
Really?
Now it's the 100th largest city in America. But that's not why we're here, Dorothy Sterling. We're here because you're 18, you're a freshman at Syracuse University.
Yes.
And you're going to college during a crisis, a pandemic.
Yes.
With the rules of quarantine and protection. Tell us, Dorothy, how many classes you go to each day in person where you go to class?
Zero.
You go to zero classes?
Yes, zero.
Do you attend classes?
Yes, I attend them via Zoom on my laptop in my dorm room.
Let me digest this as both a parent and a major broadcaster. You're going to college at Syracuse University. You don't go to any classes.
Mm-hmm.
You sit in your dorm room and attend classes that way.
Yes.
5 hours from home.
Yep.
Can you think of any particular benefit?
Well,
may I make a suggestion? A little further away from your mouth.
Yeah.
The mic.
Okay,
go ahead.
I will say I'm visiting home right now, and I cannot focus at all. And I slept through my classes Friday, being home. So I will say the benefit is the you're there for school, so you're focused on your academics, which I see to be the only positive thing, because you didn't go for the food in the dining halls,
no.
Or really the scenery there, or the weather. So I think it's just the atmosphere of, you know, academia is why I'm going.
I don't need to know the details, but is it possible in a pandemic to date?
Yeah, you can do like online dating. You're not meeting anyone in person, though. There are like dating apps you can join when you're 18. And I met a good friend from there. But not really any solid relationships you can get from these dating apps. Yeah.
And it's hard to develop a relationship when you only see somebody from the neck up.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Well, you meet people in your dorm,
mm-hmm.
and you're walking around on the hall. So
mm-hmm.
you meet people in your dorm. Can you meet them outside of your dorm? You go to the dining room. Can you meet them some other place?
Like meet up to hang out or meet new people?
Either way.
Well, you can. Well, there are like a couple places you can go to the dining hall, the Bird Library. You can go there to study or take classes at Bird. You can go to our new student center, the Shine Center, that just opened up this semester. Although there's not a lot of places to eat there, it's always crowded. But there's really, you can't go to other people's dorms, so you can only interact really or go to people's, like, you know, dorm rooms if they're in your hall. So it's pretty hard to meet up with people outside of your hall. And, you know, the meeting places aren't, you know, large. It's either you're going to go get food or to study, because there's really no place to just hang out.
I'm Walter Sterling. So many have suggested that they enjoy hearing from Dorothy, my 18-year-old, who just started at Syracuse University, on the front lines of the quarantine, on the front lines of going to college and then sitting in your room, just as though you were at home.
Yeah.
She has the experience of going to college, and it feels like she's still home,
yeah,
with much worse food.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday, and coming up, we have the usual edition, the drive-through brew, and Velo Hool will have a fishing report, the only network radio show that has a fishing report. And coming up in just seconds, I'm going to ask Dorothy Sterling when she thinks this nonsense is going to end. This is Sterling on Sunday.
It's Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. March is exciting for fish fans because it's shipping season. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Today on Florida Stories, you're going to learn how we actually came to control Florida. We didn't have to fight a war for it. We didn't have to buy it. In fact, it was passed down and around like a Christmas fruitcake. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
You get no commercials.
Actually, you do, but not for a few more minutes. Back to Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. 888-688-9258. Look at that. It's 18 past the hour, and you and I are driving across the country on Route 80. Going up and down California on the 101, the 5, and oh my God, look at that, I-4 in Florida. The only road that's marked east and west, but goes north and south. They also have a river that comes in from the ocean and not out to the ocean, the only place in America. So all the magnetic fields in Florida are screwed
it's
up.
It's the Bermuda Triangle.
It's the Bermuda Triangle as an entire state.
Yes, yes.
And therefore, James Parker will have Florida stories coming up for you in just seconds. Right now, you and I are talking to Dorothy Sterling, my 18-year-old daughter, who is going to Syracuse University in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that she recently explained to us that she's taking all of her classes online. Okay, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing them in her dorm room.
Yes.
Not at home.
Mm-hmm.
She drove 5 hours to sit in a dorm room to take classes on a computer.
Yes.
And then she goes to a dining hall to eat bad food.
Yeah.
This is one hell of an experience.
It really is. And to pay so much money for it.
Well, now, what has been the mental state of your colleagues, of other students? This is a tricky situation. They're in college, and now they can't walk around.
Yeah. Well, considering we're freshmen, we don't know how college is supposed to be. So it's not like we're dwelling on, oh, what it could be, because we don't know. But it's depressing sitting in your room all day and then only interacting with, well, I only interact with like maybe 5-6 people that I like know of, because that's all I could meet. And that includes my roommate. So a lot of the time you kind of just, it's easy for people to just get at each other's throats because you're with the same people all of the time. It can sometimes be very tense, but also sometimes very fun, because you get close to these people like very fast because you spend all your time together. So it's a mixture of just kind of low morale, but, you know, it's you know, interesting.
My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, with Dorothy Sterling, who is 18 and a freshman in college, experiencing it in the worst possible way. If you went to college or to summer camp, do you remember those first few months when you were away from home? You were in painful homesickness. Now throw in, oh, by the way, you can't leave your room.
Mm-hmm.
You can't explore where you're living. You can stay in a quasi-prison-like environment.
Oh, yeah.
Between the first semester and the second semester, Dorothy, did you notice a number of kids leaving?
Oh, yeah. There are 4 rooms opened up on my floor alone. I know kids who left midway through last semester because it was just so awful. And a lot of kids did not come back. One of my good friends, he just decided to stay back at home because there was just no point. He's taking it all online, and he'd rather be, you know, in New York City where he lives instead of Syracuse, New York. So, yeah.
You can't go out in New York City either. So.
No, we cannot leave Central New York. We cannot leave Central New York.
Man, it's a pretty horrible experience. 888-688-WALT is my phone number. I am live on a Sunday night. There's nothing else live. There's the repeat of the gold show, the insurance show, the annuity show. Those are all repeats. And then there's usually some ancient alien show that's being repeated, but nothing live. The saddest thing I've ever heard on a radio station on a Sunday night is they were playing Meet the Press, the audio of Meet the Press, which is prepared on Wednesday, recorded on Saturday, and now they were broadcasting the audio on Sunday night. Somehow they thought this was better than Sterling on Sunday, which I don't think it is.
No.
Are there any indications at your school, Dorothy Sterling, as to when it's going to return to normal?
Well, considering the fact that this semester we have to get tested every week, and if you don't get tested, they cut off your access to the internet and your Blackboard page, which is how you access all of your classes. So they basically suspend you if you don't get tested every week, which kind of takes away from the normalcy. There was this one thing. So if 100 kids in our school tested positive for COVID, they have to go on pause, which means canceling all in-person learning. Because there are some classes that are in person. And now Cuomo, the governor of New York, has decided to raise that bar to 5% of the school's population, which is about 900 people at Syracuse. So everyone's taking this as a good sign, but a lot of people are taking it as a green light to go ahead and party and gather 50 to 100 people in a closed space with no masks. And so with that, I'm thinking it probably won't end until maybe second semester next year.
The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. You and I are together every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast. It's a live radio show, and I have a phone number, which is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Are you interested in joining a sorority?
Yes. Yes.
And how would you rush? How would they get to know you?
Yes. Well, I was not able to rush this semester, but I had a lot of friends that did. And they had to do it all through Zoom. So normally with rushing, you would go to every house and meet the girls, talk to them in person. But what I heard is they had to send in a video. So a potential new member had to send in a video of them basically like introducing themselves. And then the houses would decide whether to drop them or, you know, continue to the next round or whatever, however they do that. So a lot of girls, a lot of my friends complained about this because they got dropped from houses they really liked because you couldn't get to know the girl individually. So with sororities, I guess you're supposed to find the house that you fit best in, and sending in an introduction via video isn't really showcasing your personality and how you would actually mix well with the other girls.
It's fascinating that both at work and in college and in many situations, job applications, you have to generate a video, mm-hmm. which adds a whole different level of skill to you.
Yes.
You have to have the ability to, make a video. You have to know how to light it, mm-hmm. set it. There are people who come across great in person and lousy on TV, and yeah. worse, it isn't even TV. It's a computer screen, which is a different medium than TV.
Yes.
It adds a whole level of risk that wasn't there before. It's fascinating. Well, Dorothy Sterling, I am delighted that you've been on Sterling on Sunday, because we have had many, many, many emails from listeners saying they really enjoy hearing you.
Yes.
They really enjoyed these conversations. And you had a hell of a first semester. You had the worst first semester in history, but the second semester seems to be going better for you. Is that right?
Yes, it's going really well, actually. I'm doing my homework and going to class, so it's going pretty well. It's going pretty well.
Last semester, you didn't do your homework, and it became overwhelming, and
yeah.
everything was bad.
Yeah, everything was very bad.
But now you're keeping up with it.
Yeah.
What happened? Because a lot of kids have trouble with this transition. Did you get any? How did it happen? How did it happen from going to being overwhelmed to being in charge?
Well, you got a fresh start. And I also learned I had Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid disease. No, it's a thyroid disease, and apparently it affects your motivation to do things. So I got on hormones for that, which I think has been helping a lot, and it's probably the key factor into me doing better. But I also have ADHD, which is probably how I got into last semester that way. So there are a lot of factors. It's not just your environment. There are also mental things that could be going on, or physical. So yeah.
ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for paying attention through this interview. I appreciate it. Now, I'm under orders to say hello to Samantha Sterling. Samantha is your 8-year, not, oh, forgive me, your 9-year-old sister.
Yes,
who's obsessed with LOL dolls and American Girl dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, I'm saying to you, Samantha Sterling, hello. Now go to bed, because what the heck are you doing up at this hour? I mean, she's 9 years old. She's not supposed to be up at this hour.
No.
All right. Well, coming up tonight, we have The Usual Edition, which is our parody of public radio, where every episode of The Usual Edition has exactly the same stories as the last one. Plus, we have Velo Hul with The Fishing Report, the only network radio show that has a fishing report. Dr. Dave will have complete weather for you at 36 past the hour, and a visit to the drive-thru brew.
Hmm.
Dorothy, I don't know if you know this,
okay, but
I'm obsessed with drive-thru brews.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Beer barns.
Yes.
And therefore, each week we go into a beer barn.
Mm-hmm.
We listen to the manager arguing with his employee about the management of the beer barn. I think this is an industry that's grossly undercovered, and therefore I'm desired. My goal in life is to fix that. And, of course, you, and your phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, plus Vic Ferrari with his New York City police detective stories. Vic Ferrari writes books about having been a New York City police detective, and he shares those stories with us on Sterling on Sunday. It's quite a remarkable show. I'm sure there are other features, but I can't remember everything right now. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to James Copeland, who escaped from Dollar Tree. He worked at Dollar Tree. He will reveal to us the secrets of Dollar Tree, plus what it's like to live in a Winnebago all the time in Kansas. James Copeland coming up. I'm Walter Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. It's a pleasure to be with you. I have so much fun every week. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music too is heard by the very best listeners, and we mean you.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. March 1st, tomorrow, is the beginning of meteorological spring, although the rest of us look for spring on the calendar in about 3 weeks. Mother Nature is right on schedule, and we'll see some rapid warm-ups Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Minneapolis, for example, goes from 25 degrees tomorrow to 45 on Tuesday, with 70 degrees in Dodge City, Kansas, 61 in St. Louis by Wednesday. Temperatures will be 5 to 25 degrees above average later this week. It looks like a warmer than average March throughout most of the country, except for the Pacific Northwest. Fairbanks, Alaska, we haven't forgotten about you. Look for afternoon highs this week in the single digits and overnight lows approaching 10 to 20 degrees below zero. It's going to take spring a little while longer up there. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
What are we doing? 36 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Larry in Jacksonville, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, hi. Thank you so much. No, I appreciated Dorothy's comments about being stuck in college. Because years ago when I was there, you know, we had a lot of fires around us. And so a lot of times we were stuck in our dorms, especially in especially when the fires were in,
where was
in
this?
All the canyons and everything.
Larry, where was this?
Yes, Pepperdine University.
Let's talk a minute about Pepperdine University. If you haven't had the privilege of seeing Pepperdine University, you have missed something. It's not a college. It's nirvana. I have never seen a more beautiful campus because it is high on the hills in Malibu, overlooking the Pacific Ocean from Malibu. It is the height of the genetic gene pool. They don't have a swimming pool. They have a pool where when you dive in, you lose your fat and get blonde hair. Is that about right?
I don't know about that, but the downside, of course, of being there is that they get terrible fires.
Larry, shush. Thank you very much for your call. There is no downside to going to Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. Do you remember, are you old enough to remember a show called The Battle of the Network Stars, or what they used to call it, The Battle of the Network Bras? It was shot at Pepperdine. Just imagine going to Pepperdine, looking out your dorm window and seeing Heather Locklear in your pool with a camera crew around her when she was 20. This was the greatest academic experience in history. I don't know why my headphones were all screwed up. They were perfect, and they're not perfect. Just a second. Why am I even bothering? I should just be grateful that they work at all. Okay, that's better. What's this? Matthew in Las Vegas listening on KXNT. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Sterling. How are you? I'm sitting in a parking lot at a McDonald's, in a rental car after being all over the place doing some, business and writing reports till midnight and so forth. And I'm listening to you, I really have to say it's to my amazement that this type of nonsense goes on. And I look at your daughter, God bless her. She sounds like she's so utterly compliant. Okay. And so there, whether it's you or whoever's paying the bills, I get the inference that she's paying the bills. Good for her. But they're being educated into mushrooms. I've been to 16 different countries since COVID broke out. I've been to no less than 25 of the 50 states, including Socialist Republic of Hawaii and California and others. And this drives home to me in the business that I am in, which is manufacturing and not low-end items by any means. I never saw the inside of a college. I had a 4.4 grade score average in high school.
Matthew,
but I was too busy working to accomplish things.
I don't want to go through your whole resume. What would you like to share? What fact would you like to share?
This is what I would like to share. This is what brought me to realization about 20 years ago. I was always told that it's necessary to have college-educated people or else our company wouldn't thrive. And what I found is the exact opposite. Most of them can't find their way out of the bathroom without assistance or are the greatest excuse makers that have ever been invented. The ones that really are the self-starters that are successful, that have wonderful careers, from my experience, is the 18-year-old kid coming off the farm in Iowa who's never seen the inside of anything but a workshop and a barn, and they can do anything with nothing. And I might say the same thing as the immigrants who come over on inner tubes from Cuba and places like that.
Inner tubes from Cuba.
This is one of the major components of how our youth are being sterilized into mushrooms.
You've upset the monkey. It's a disaster. When you got to sterilization of mushrooms, the monkey got very sad. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a network radio show with monkeys and Velo Houle, who will have a fishing report coming up in just seconds. James Copeland is the genius who puts together our reports, but he also had the experience of working at a Dollar Tree, and he has the information about the inside of a Dollar Tree, the secrets of Dollar Tree, and that's coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. This is only
a test. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Instant replay.
So growing up, I was
Sterling
very
on Sunday. Instant replay.
School, all this stuff, and I was very public school. I was the public school scholarship kid. And one day when we were going to camp, I was very upset. I said to my father, I was like, "Dad, everybody goes to these fancy places when summer is over. They go to St. Bart's. They go to St. Tropez." I was like, "We go to Jones Beach, Dorney Park, if we're lucky. You know, a two-door Ford Explorer from 1991. One of the doors doesn't open. The windows you have to slap down. The radio was stolen, and the engine you have to disconnect every time you park it." Type of beat. And he was like, "Listen, don't stress. This is what you tell them. You tell these kids you go on vacation in the Isles of Gristides. This is Gristides, a supermarket chain in New York." He said, "These kids, they'll never know it's a supermarket because they don't go to supermarkets. Just tell them you'll be in the Isles." And so that's what I did.
All right, 888-688-WALT is my phone number. It's a live show on Sunday night. Can you believe that? 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast. Walter Sterling. Now, I want to know what you're looking at. I want a Sterling snap. Take out that overpriced phone that you have. Take a picture of whatever you're looking at. Send it to me, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And then I post it on Facebook like tomorrow or Tuesday, whenever I come to. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Take the cell phone. Take a picture of what you're looking at, whatever it is, as long as you're not in a moving vehicle, and send it to me. Got it? waltermsterling@gmail.com. These are called Sterling Snaps. I've gotten spectacular Sterling Snaps, like from Billy Datz and his kids, who are always having birthdays, and his beautiful wife, and throughout the country, and I appreciate them. We have a lot of fun with those snaps, you betcha. James Copeland is sitting in a Winnebago in Kansas. How cold is it, James?
I'm in Arizona, Walter.
Oh, my God. When did you get to Arizona? Is it legal? Did you cross the border? What's going on?
I've been here for about a month and a half.
And the temperature?
Let's see, we had about 68 today, but last week we were in the 80s.
Now what kind of phone are you using right now?
A BlackBerry with very marginal cell signal.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
What are your options in terms of telephone technology?
I have a landline in the Winnebago, and then I have my cell phone.
So can we get on a landline?
Yeah, you have the number, I think.
So, James Montague is going to call you on the landline, all right? We'll get back to you in just seconds. What I want to talk to him about is he worked at a Dollar Tree, and I'm obsessed and fascinated with Dollar Trees. And by the way, when you call a radio station and you have a landline, use the landline. The worst thing about where I live now, I recently moved. I didn't want to move. It was a horrible experience. But the worst thing about it is I cannot get a landline in my home. Not available. No company will do it. The phone company, Verizon, does not want to do it. They're not going to give you a new copper wire line into your home. And it's a tragedy because isn't this true? Every cell phone conversation ends with, hello, hello. It must have dropped out. Hello? It must have dropped out. What kind of advancement in technology is it that now your cell phone conversations always end with, hello? Hello? James, hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm in the absolute middle of nowhere, so I'm not surprised that that didn't work.
No, you must never use a cell phone when you're calling a radio station. Always use a landline. Now, James, how many months were you at the Dollar Tree?
I was there for about a month and a quarter, month and a half or so.
What was your biggest surprise about the inner workings of a Dollar Tree? Was there anything you saw or realized where you went, whoa, that's really weird?
Well, I was actually surprised at how organized it was. And while the individual stores have some purview as to where they put the items on the shelf, they basically can kind of do whatever, there actually is a structure as to how they're supposed to be on the shelves. And if you go into your local Dollar Tree, I suggest you try this. Go, you know, into where all the long aisles are. And then as soon as you enter the aisle, look to your immediate right and kind of hidden on the side of the back of the end cap. Sometimes there's a piece of paper that it actually says how the shelf is supposed to be stocked. And the funny thing is that piece of paper actually says, like, confidential, not for, like, public display or whatever. But, you know, there they are.
Now, why would it be a secret as to a piece of paper saying, you know, this is a secret, this is confidential, when the results of that paper are very public, they're on shelves?
I don't know. I know. I guess the results of that paper usually don't end up being the results of the paper. So maybe they think there'll be some espionage by Dollar General employees or something. I don't know.
How do they reward you at Dollar Tree? Can you get bonuses? Do you get rewarded in any way? Or is this strictly a $10, $12, $13 an hour job?
Oh, $7.25 is the minimum wage in Kansas, but and that's what I was making. But I did get an extra dollar for overnight stocking. But no, on Christmas Eve, because I worked Christmas Eve, I also worked New Year's Day, like right after midnight. But my boss gave me a little bag of candy, like that's filled out of, you know, the candy bags. And then one of the assistant managers made little cookies and put them in a tin. And that was like, that was great. I was very touched by that.
Their bonus was cookies that they made and overstocked candy.
Correct.
They didn't give you any utensils, glassware, anything that would really be useful.
Well, I still have some of the candy left.
You what?
I mean, it was like, it wasn't very many pieces, but I'm slow to eat candy.
All right, now the other thing you're an expert on, James Copeland, a member of the Sterling on Sunday family. Life in a Winnebago. How is life in your Winnebago? Why don't you start from scratch, describe the Winnebago, what you've done to it to make it habitable, and share with us your life today.
Yes, thank you. It is a 1975 Winnebago Indian that I bought a couple of years ago now, repainted, put a whole new roof on with the help of my father and mother, very loving, wonderful parents, new curtains and all sorts of things inside. And I live in it full time, travel the country, and right now I am in paradise, which is Arizona in the wintertime, where we can have wonderful temperatures and we don't have to wear masks for anything.
Where will you be traveling to next?
It's a very good question. I take it a day at a time. Right now I'm actually doing mornings at KLPZ 1380 AM in Parker, Arizona. We'll see. Maybe a couple more weeks I'll do that. I don't know.
How did you get mornings at KPLZ and wherever that is?
So it's an AM station. It's perfect. Like, you have the tower in the backyard and everything, and you have the window looking into the transmitter. It's wonderful. But, no, I just rolled up, and part of my job is I visit radio stations and try to sell them things. And more often than not, I end up getting hired by those radio stations. So it's a bit of a workplace hazard. But, yes, I just kind of rolled up, took a liking to the owners, or maybe they took a liking to me. And I'm actually staying at their house right now. The Winnebago is parked in their front yard, and I eat dinner with them and watch Seinfeld in the evenings.
Who are the owners?
They are Keith and Juanita Learn, and they are the nicest people perhaps on the planet.
They will be the nicest people on the planet when they air Sterling on Sunday on their radio station.
That's right. Now, We're working on that.
How's that going? What do they have on now? The Gold Show? They have the Gold Show on now, or a repeat of?
We've got country music. Music station.
By the
way,
I heard the, and I'm sure it's doing fine. I heard the weirdest thing on a radio station the other night. I really couldn't believe it. This is exactly what I heard. The man on the radio said, "Now last night on CNN at 9 p.m., I saw something that was a fascinating report about the fact that with extreme magnetism, chickens, worms can be levitated. The science of levitation will become..." And then he said, "Now I'm getting a lot of messages, a lot of emails from you and my friends saying, are you dead? Let me just assure you, I'm not dead." And he repeated that several times. And it was Art Bell. It was Art Bell who died 10 years ago. And Art was quoting CNN from last night at 9 p.m. and going through his email, people questioning whether or not he was dead. And he was assuring us he was not dead, but he is dead. Now, I don't know why, and I thought Art Bell was a great talent, but I don't know why any radio station would air shows from a man who died 10 years ago. I don't get it. It's too bizarre to even think about, especially when you hit it at the moment when he announces he's not dead. What do you do about that, James? How do I reconcile that they could air my show instead of a dead man's show?
It's very confusing, and I worked at a TV station where what they would do is on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they did a live show at noon, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it was a pre-recorded show, and what they would do is they would have like all these Today in Histories and all the birthdays, and they're like, "Andy Griffith turns 56 today." And I'm like, well, that's just not good any way you slice it.
No. James Copeland, you're a good friend of mine. You're a great friend of the show. All the production you hear on the show, The Usual Edition, Drive Through Brew, all of that is produced and put together by the brilliant James Copeland. And I thank you for being my friend, and thank you for the Dollar Tree update. Thank you very much. This is Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, we have Florida stories. Velo Houle with his fishing report. Vic Ferrari with his New York City police story. There's nothing else like this on the radio. You and I are having a great time driving across Route 80. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This man. What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The South can expect several soggy days, at least through Wednesday of this week. After a rain-soaked weekend, look for some more rain across Texas through Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, and on into Georgia, the Carolinas, and on up through the East Coast, including Pittsburgh, Philly, New York, and up into Boston and New England. Some of that rain will turn to some light snows in Massachusetts and some lake effect snow flurries to the east of the Great Lakes. We'll see a half inch of rain in Dallas, 1 to 2 inches of rain in Atlanta, Memphis, Nashville, a half inch in the nation's capital, New York, even Florida gets into the act. Walt's daughter will see about an inch or two up in Syracuse, New York. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, coming up in just seconds, we will have Velo Hool with the fishing report, and this is the best TikTok I have ever heard.
So growing up, I went to a very she-she summer camp, very she-she, private school, all this stuff. And I was very public, public school. I was the public school scholarship kid. And one day when we were going to camp, I was very upset. I said to my father, I was like, Dad, everybody goes to these fancy places when summer is over. They go to St. Bart's, they go to St. Tropez. I was like, we go to Jones Beach, Dorney Park if we're lucky, you know, a two-door Ford Explorer from 1991. One of the doors doesn't open, the windows you have to slap down, the radio was stolen, and the engine you have to disconnect every time you park it type of beat. And he was like, listen, don't stress. This is what you tell them. You tell these kids you go on vacation in the aisles of Christie's. This is Christie's, a supermarket chain in New York. He said these kids, they'll never know it's a supermarket because they don't go to supermarkets. Just tell them you'll be in the aisles. And so that's what I did.
Welcome back to Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
I have so much to do with you tonight. We have too much show. I have too much show. Being on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. is not enough. Or 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the West Coast. It's not enough. It's 8 minutes past the hour. I have always been fascinated. Remember, by the way, don't eat cheese before you go on the radio. I have always been fascinated by people who do something incredibly unexpected and innovative, and they get no credit for it. There are people throughout history who did remarkable things, and they didn't get credit for it. There's a form of radio known as free-form progressive rock radio. And people like Tom Donahue and all of these legendary hippies got credit for it, but they're not the ones who did it. The first person, the first entertainer to do free-form radio, and they did it in New York City, was a broadcaster named Murray Kaufman, Murray the K. Murray the K was well known for about 50 miles around New York City, and that was it. He wasn't known otherwise. He made stage shows. He was a disc jockey on two radio stations in New York, three radio stations in New York, and he made TV shows. He made TV shows featuring the biggest stars of the day.
We got a great show, and on our show tonight, Ray Charles, Cannibal and the Headhunters, The Drifters, The Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, Herman's Hermits,
makes a bloke feel so proud,
Chuck Jackson, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, Little Anthony and the Imperials, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Hattie and the Bluebells, Pretty Mike, the Righteous Brothers, Johnny Rivers, the Ronettes, the Supremes, the Temptations. Mary Wells, oh my God. And me, your host, Murray the K.
A recording of his television concert became available thanks to Peter Altschul, his son, and T.J. Lubinsky, Now, TJ, you've seen on public television many, 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 many times for over 20 years. He puts on those great rock and roll shows, those original concerts, those stunningly photographed, shot concerts. They're just great. And TJ Lubinsky got a hold of this recording of a, how long was the show, TJ? Is it an hour or 2 hours?
It was like 2 hours. And, you know, I was a fanatic, nuts, like you are for Jan Bradley. I was a fanatic for the Miracles, and when I saw that the Miracles had some footage I'd never seen before, it's like heaven, Walt, heaven.
What kind of shape was this two-hour show? Where was it originally broadcast?
Well, first it was on CBS, and, you know, Peter's got an amazing story he could tell you as to how it got on the air and the challenges it took. But basically it was to get kids back in school, and they had the top R&B, Motown, soul, and pop acts of the day come on and encourage kids to be a part of their community, to work in the summertime. And so essentially it aired once on CBS, then it was locked away in a vault in L.A. where I had one of my producers who was working on another TV show that we were doing, and he just came across the tape. He said, "You're not going to believe what I found. It's the Murray the K tape." And I said, "Really?" And when we found this thing, it had been there was two copies. One was from the Library of Congress, not so good, but the other one was the original tape that aired on CBS. So the way they did shows back then is they spliced in each location. The show was very unique because it was a lot of it was at the Brooklyn Fox, but a lot of it was recorded on the streets of New York. So you see the Ronettes on Mott Street. You see in some of the DVD bonus clips, you see Aretha Franklin on Wall Street. You see Herman's Hermits in the middle of the Sullivan Theater. And all these great locations in old New York from 65 to 67, 68. And so we had to get all those to play again because the way it was recorded, they were spliced into the original tape. And it took, you know, probably 2 or 3 years just to get the video to play, then to go back and work on the audio. But it is the who's who of what was happening in 1965 for sure.
And it's airing on public television stations throughout this month, right?
Most stations will start to air it on the 3rd, which is this coming Saturday, somewhere between 7 or 8 o'clock, 90% of the stations. Check your local listings. In New York, it premieres on WLIW, Channel 21 at 10:30 p.m. And I'm telling you, this was just, you see the Young Temptations on here. And they talk about how they were afraid of Little Anthony and the Imperials. And Little Anthony and the Imperials talk about how they didn't know if they could be on with the Temptations. And it's unbelievable, just an unbelievable moment in history. I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, I've worked with the Ed Sullivan Library, Hullabaloo, Shindig, Dick Clark Libraries. I've never seen anything like what this concert is.
TJ Lubinsky, one of the greatest television producers in history and the highest volume creator of live concerts on television. Nobody has recorded more live concert hours than TJ Lubinsky. He's the guy. Now, when you first saw this tape, I had the privilege of seeing this tape 15 years ago, and it was in such bad shape with the time code on it. I'm like, I don't know how anyone could fix this. What did it take for you to get it up to snuff to broadcast standards today?
Well, I mean, yeah, the tape was, it had to be played minute by minute by minute by minute. It couldn't be played as a whole tape. And then once you got a minute to play, then you had to change all the settings on the machine to get it to play the next minute. And then the next minute, then using computers, we had to go back and assemble all those minutes to add up to the whole show. But the real challenge for me, Walt, you know this, was to get the audio to sound like you're
the
actually
hearing
the record in this live experience. And that's taken us, you know, several years to be able to hear what sounds like the original record playing, but you're hearing the live vocals that were performed live, or when they were lip sync clips when they were shot on the street. We wanted those to be in stereo, not mono, for the TV broadcast. So you're talking probably 3 to 4 years just to get this tape ready to air. And again, first time on DVD, some amazing bonus performances from some of his other programs, particularly Murray the K in New York, and then seeing it on public television, this is something I never thought I'd experience. You know, people always said, well, unless you're there, you can never understand what it's like. And I always thought, well, no, I heard these songs on the radio. I know what it's like. I'd hear the song. I'd go out and buy the song. When you see the Brooklyn Fox black, white, Latino kids all calling and responding to Dionne Warwick singing Walk On By, you say, you know what? I wasn't there, but I'm there now.
I am appalled at what I learned that for the Murray the K special about a broadcaster based in New York and a real New Yorker, Murray was a freaking real New Yorker, that Channel 13 in New York is not airing this show. That's what I heard. Is that true?
No, actually, I got a confirmation late last night. They were very nice and sent out a note to one of the my radio listeners for the Twitch show, which, of course, you helped set up. And they confirmed the airings on LIW, and it is, in fact, airing. Breaking news, hearing it here first, on April 1st at 8:30 on Channel 13 in New York. So we're really excited about that.
Well, Mr. Shapiro, thank God. T.J. Yeah. Lubinsky, who reconstructed this incredible special that Murray the K produced of the biggest stars of the day, the biggest rock stars of the 60s, originally broadcast on CBS, now going to be broadcast on PBS. And, GTJ, will the DVDs be available?
Oh, yeah, of course, and lots of great footage. You know, the other thing, Walt, is I had a chance to bring back just about everybody who was alive from the original concert as part of the PBS presentation. So I interviewed on this everybody from my friend Mary Wells to Otis Williams, The Temptations, Peter Noon, and melancholy kind of note here was Mary Wilson. And I talked to Mary for an hour and a half about how much she loved Murray, about what it was like to be on the show, the outfits they weared. And then, of course, 2 days later, Mary Wilson of the Supremes died suddenly in her sleep from some two brain clots that she threw, blood clots. And this is the last interview you're going to see with her that she ever did, talking about the excitement of Murray the K coming to public television.
All right, well, coming up in just seconds, I'm going to talk to Peter Altschul, who's Murray the K's son, about his father and what his father did for American media, American music, and American radio. T.J. Lubinsky, always an honor to speak to you, sir. I'm delighted that Channel 13 in New York came to their freaking senses and are going to air this along with about 800 other public television stations. Thank you, T.J. Lubinsky, for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Today on Florida Stories, you're going to learn how we actually came to control Florida. We didn't have to fight a war for it. We didn't have to buy it. In fact, it was passed down and around like a Christmas fruitcake. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
It's Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. March is exciting for fish fans because it's shipping season. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
Peter Altschul is Murray the K's son. And Murray the K's CBS special, two-hour special, is going to be on the public television stations this month. It's a two-hour special featuring all the big stars. I mean, all the big stars of the 60s, hosted by Murray the K, who was a big disc jockey in New York. But he did an innovation that I find to be even more important. But first, Peter, how was it that your father, a single disc jockey, without the power of anything else but his personality and reputation, how was he able to gather the biggest stars of the 60s to perform on a special on CBS? How did that happen?
Well, you've got to realize that in 1965, he was the top-rated DJ in New York, and he had a lot of power. He'd been putting on shows at the Brooklyn Fox, before that at the Brooklyn Paramount, for years. And so when it came time to put this show together, he picked up the phone. I mean, these were people who were eager to perform in those days. And in those days, there weren't these megalomaniacal stars who had to have entourages around them all the time. They were kids. They showed up. This was great for them.
When I first visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, I said to the manager, let's talk about some of the people who are in here. And he said there are only two disc jockeys in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, only two. And I'm like, Tom Donahue or this one. He says, no. I said, Casey Kasem? No. He said, I was really surprised. It was Alan Freed who named rock and roll. Okay, that made sense. And the founder of Sun Records, whose name will come to me any moment. But in addition to being the founder of Sun Records, he was also a disc jockey. And those were the only two in the Hall of Fame. And now I think they've added one more, Tom Donahue. But I'm like, where the hell's Murray the K? And because Murray did something that most people in radio don't know about, it was very important to the cultural landscape of New York City. Your father was the first program director of a progressive freeform radio station, which was WOR-FM. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are.
And it's amazing that that's vanished. Tom Donahue gets credit. B. Mitchell Reed gets credit. Scott Muni. No. It was Murray the K who put together the talent lineup of the first freeform progressive rock radio station. Do you ever remember him talking to you about that?
What happened at WOR-FM was that after establishing that format and doing it for a year, Drake then came in to reprogram the show because it wasn't making enough money for the people who ran the station. And when that new format, which was an oldies format, came in, my father dropped out. Muni went to WNEW-FM and basically took the format with him. Muni and all the other people in NEW became the people who took that forward into the future. It became essentially the template for FM rock radio. But my father wasn't a part of it. So it was like, okay, we'll go on from here. And yeah, Murray did this and Murray was great. But yeah, so he didn't get credit for it.
It's tragic because he deserved credit for it. It was a true innovation. No one else had done it. The other thing that's interesting is that in every city where there was a progressive freeform radio station and a program director and a disc jockey who was leading it, it was a very interesting fact about B. Mitchell Reed, Tom Donahue, your father. They were all over 40.
Yep.
And they were all over 40, and they were all at the top of their game in traditional radio. Whatever the format they were on, they were at the top of their game and the top of their earnings. And they walked away from it to do something innovative. And therefore, I have tremendous respect for them. But isn't that amazing?
It is. But there's certain things that come with age. And I think that with my father, who'd been around since he was a kid in show business, that he learned one thing that actually no other DJ in New York seemed to have. And that was an ear for a hit. As Dionne Warwick told me one time, she said, you know, it's possible that if it weren't for Murray the K, there'd be no Dionne Warwick. And I said, tell me a little bit more about that. She said that she came out with a song that everybody thought was going to be a hit, and my father wouldn't play it. He said, no, the hit is the B-side, and the guy at the radio at the record label tried to get to him, and the A&R guy tried to get to him, and he said no. He played the B-side. It was Walk On By.
Peter Altschul, son of Murray the K, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday and sharing those secrets about your dad, who was a true innovator. He was the inventor of freeform progressive rock radio. Thank you so much. I'm Walter Sterling. Coming up in just seconds, we have weather from Dr. Dave. And we have Velo Hool and the Fishing Report and James Parker with Florida Stories. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. March 1st, tomorrow, is the beginning of meteorological spring, although the rest of us look for spring on the calendar in about 3 weeks. Mother Nature is right on schedule, and we'll see some rapid warm-ups Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Minneapolis, for example, goes from 25 degrees tomorrow to 45 on Tuesday, with 70 degrees in Dodge City, Kansas, 61 in St. Louis by Wednesday. Temperatures will be 5 to 25 degrees above average later this week. It looks like a warmer than average March throughout most of the country, except for the Pacific Northwest. Fairbanks, Alaska, we haven't forgotten about you. Look for afternoon highs this week in the single digits and overnight lows approaching 10 to 20 degrees below zero. It's going to take spring a little while longer up there. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next, weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
It is great to be with you. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live on a Sunday night. Let's talk. The reason I do this show is I get a chance to talk with you. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. And thank you so much. I got this fantastic photo, a Sterling snap, from a listener in Fairbanks, Alaska. These are misfits, the people who listen to my show. Oh, and the Datz family, always from the Datz family in Pittman, New Jersey. The reason I do this show is because we don't fit in. You and I are not normal. No normal person listens to the radio on Sunday night, and no normal host broadcasts live on Sunday night. It's always a best of, and now a best of, a best of. There's no such thing as a best of talk show. Please pay attention. There's no such, I'm mansplaining. They're not manscaping, mansplaining. There's no such thing as a normal person listening to a talk show on Sunday night or hosting one. We don't fit in. We are misfits. We are introverts. But the difference between you and me and the rest of the world is we get things done. If you want to, if you have a project at work, give it to the quietest person who works with you. They will get it done. Because what people like you and I do is we go to the back of the cave with our project, our work, and we take care of it. And then we come back to the front of the cave and say, here it is. This is what you wanted. Meanwhile, all the other idiots at work are chatting with each other and hanging out at the water cooler. Well, they used to. And gossiping, and nothing gets done. Those people, those extroverts, those loud, annoying people, the people you couldn't stand working with, they're dying now because they don't know how to work in a Zoom environment. They have no idea how to do that, but you and I do, don't we? We're thrilled. We're in heaven that we get to stay at home. I believe one of the things about staying at home, working alone, is that it dramatically increases our sex drive, that it makes people horny as hell to be at home. The other thing about those masks, think about this. Everybody looks good in a mask. You only see another person's eyes. What do you say to people when you get to know them and love them? You say, you have beautiful eyes. Have you ever said you have ugly eyes? Nobody has ugly eyes. Everybody has beautiful eyes. You put the mask on, you don't see their bad teeth. Their bad skin, you just see their beautiful eyes. If you take 2 seconds to do your hair well, there's your hair and beautiful eyes. Boom, you're golden. On the Zoom calls, the people who are smart and focused on their task, they're excelling, they're exploding, they're doing great. And they're thrilled to not have to go anywhere further than their bedroom to go to work. The people who are dying are the ones who used to be hail fellow well met. That is the most disgusting phrase to me. Well, you know, he's really well liked. You know, he's a big slap on the back guy. He can get you tickets. He can get you the good seats at the restaurant. He can get you tickets to the game. I hate those guys. Absolutely hate them. Annoying as hell. Guys who are loud at work, women who are loud at work and laughing loud and making a lot of noise and have stupid things on their desk. You know, all sorts of weird flowers and animated creatures on their desks. Idiots. They're dying in this pandemic. Their careers are over. People like you and me who just do the work. We just get it done. That's us. We just get it done. We're the misfits. Everybody who's a misfit didn't fit in well at school, didn't fit in well at work. We're thriving because now the only place we have to fit in is in a Zoom square. And you and I can fill that out perfectly. And we can show our work. We don't have to tell jokes. We don't have to be social and friendly and political. How the hell are you going to be political on a Zoom call? You can't be. All you can do is be prepared. Have your graphics. Show the results. It's the best thing ever for those of us who like to do the job, but not go to work. Now, what's going to happen when the pandemic's all over? What's going to happen is this. A large segment of the population is going to say, I'm not going to work. I know big companies, big venture capital companies in L.A. who are saying, you know, we're not going back to work. There are entire office buildings in Manhattan that people are not going to go back into them. Because they realize that driving an hour and a half each way to work is not a good idea. Why would you drive an hour and a half each way to work when I can roll out of my bed, go into the next room, open my laptop, and I'm at work early? For the first time in my life, I would be at work early. Another thing about the pandemic, why do I have to go to a parking lot to get a vaccine? This is not a third world country mostly. All right, parts of the South, but mostly it's not a third world country. I'm supposed to go to a parking lot or my favorite, a supermarket to get a vaccine. I'm supposed to go to Giant Eagle or Mark's to get a vaccine. What? Am I supposed to go to a supermarket to get a colonoscopy? Listen, over here in aisle four, get these cantaloupes in. Oh, by the way, bend over and get a colonoscopy. Get a shot. Get a COVID shot. Why can't I go to my primary care physician for a COVID shot? Why can't I go to my doctor for a vaccine? That's crazy. This has been handled stupidly, but you know where it's been handled worse? Canada. The Canadians, with their socialized medicine and their good open policies, the Canadians are having the worst time ever getting this vaccine distributed and administered. Worse than us, and we're doing pretty bad. Finally, my current, much younger, very beautiful wife got me scheduled on March 2nd for a vaccine at a hospital. Originally, I thought I was going to have to go to a parking lot. Why do I have to go to a parking lot to stand in the cones and get medicine? Well, you know, I'm not going to go to Giant Eagle or Kroger's to get a colonoscopy, but that's what's going to happen next. Well, you know, the distribution's easy. It's much easier there. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to tell you what I did all weekend, which was way out of character, very strange. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I want to see what you're looking at right now. Get out that overpriced cell phone, take a picture of it, and email it to me right now, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I will post it on Facebook tomorrow or Tuesday. Walter M. Sterling, STERLING@gmail.com. I look forward to seeing what you're seeing. This is Sterling on Sunday.
It's Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. March is exciting for fish fans because it's shipping season. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Today on Florida Stories, you're going to learn how we actually came to control Florida. We didn't have to fight a war for it. We didn't have to buy it. In fact, it was passed down and around like a Christmas fruitcake. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is Florida Stories. Oh, my God. Thank you. All right. It was this week in history that the United States acquired Florida from Spain. But the history goes all the way back to the 1500s when Spain came to the New World and they were looking for a place to set up on the eastern seaboard. The natives basically said, here, you can just have this part. And then in the French and Indian War, they sided with the French. And when they lost, Britain said, what are you going to give up? They're like, here, you can have this little strip here we call Florida. Britain said, okay. About 20 years later, Britain said, here, Spain, you can just have it back. And then finally, in 1819, Spain looked at America and was like, do you want this? Because we don't want it. And America said, sure, and we got it for nothing. Like, we didn't have to fight a war over it. We didn't have to buy it. Nothing. It was like a hand-me-down. Florida is the goodwill of states. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go to Jacksonville, where a sweet old great-grandma in a motorized wheelchair showed up in the lobby of a bank to discuss her account. She had a problem with it, but she got in an argument with the teller that escalated, and then she threatened to kill everyone in the room. She also said, I'm robbing the place. They gave her some cash, and she wheels out. There was no weapon in the robbery. No one inside the bank was hurt. Police caught up with her literally one block over, and she's in custody now. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, let's go down to Miami, where they're getting ready for what might be a weird spring break season. The Coast Guard is going to be working with Miami Beach Police to stop party boats from bending the rules. Deputies say they are relying on these things called goodwill ambassadors. These are civilians that are trained by the local authorities to tell visitors the rules, keep them out of trouble. I want to be one of these people. Really, the state of Florida has, air quotes, goodwill ambassadors, party guides for spring break. It's like the Indian in the Doors movie. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, we're going to go to Pembroke Pines, Florida. We're at an apartment complex. A man was running around knocking on doors and yelling. And when some residents came out to confront him, it was a naked man. He's carrying a Bible as well. So police show up to the reports of a naked man with the Bible screaming at people in an apartment. One of the residents noticed there was a crazy naked man with the Bible screaming outside his apartment, confronted the man and shot him, went back in his apartment. Police show up. There's a naked man with the Bible screaming, bleeding out on the ground. He's going to be okay. But I don't think the shooter's even going to be in trouble. Apparently in Florida, that might be legal. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Nomadland won Best Picture at the Golden Globes tonight. Let me share with you the winning performers and pictures. Let's see. The best performance by an actress in a motion picture or drama was Andra Day, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, a drama, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. That was the winner. Best picture, musical, or comedy was Borat's subsequent movie film. Very good. Thank goodness it wasn't any of those pretentious crap things. It was Borat's. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. That went to Rosamund Pike. I Care a Lot. She was the winner. What else we got? Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Sacha Baron Cohen for Borat's subsequent movie film. Best motion picture animated went to Soul. Best picture foreign language went to Minari. Best supporting actress, Jodie Foster. And, excuse me, hold on. It's coming over the wires now. Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture went to Daniel Kaluuya, Judas and the Black Messiah. Best Director Motion Picture, Chloe Zahn, Nomadland. Best Screenplay Motion Picture, The Trial of the Chicago 7. Best Original Score went to Soul, Trent Reznor. The Best Original Song was The Life Around. All right, those are the Golden Globe winners. Oh, here's another one. Best Television Series, The Crown. That's what won Best Television Series. And the Best Actress was in The Crown. She played Diana. We got them all. We got all the big stuff. All right, those are the Golden Globe winners. Best Television Series, Musical or Comedy, S. Creek. And then Best Actress in a TV Series, Musical or Comedy, went to Catherine O'Hara, also on S. Creek, because I'm not going to say that word because I have 100 affiliates and who needs the trouble. And then there's poor Jason Sudeikis. He won for Best Television Actor, Jason Sudeikis, in the TV show Ted Lasso. Now, why do I say poor Jason Sudeikis? Here's a man who for 7 or 8 years has raised children with Olivia Wilde. Two beautiful children. And she runs off with Harry Styles, a man in pearls and a dress. Jason Sudeikis loses his girlfriend fiance to a man wearing pearls and a dress. Olivia Wilde has run off with a guy wearing pearls and a dress in a band. She doesn't have kids with him. They're not engaged. She's just run off and is living in his house. Except, oh, gee, she really can't do it all the time. Sometimes she has to go to England to shoot her movie, to direct her movie. And there's Harry Styles. He stays in a separate house because of the pandemic. She's with her kids and Jason Sudeikis. What do you think's going to happen with those kids? How do you think things are going to turn out with those kids? Not so good. Those kids are going to be so screwed up. Wait a minute. Mommy ran off with a guy in a dress. We're left here with a comedian. And my current wife keeps saying, they have a nanny. Don't worry, they have a nanny. Well, maybe they do, but we've never seen the nanny. Just like with Scarlett Johansson, we've never seen her kid. She had a kid with a French guy. We know nothing about the French guy. And now she's married to Colin Jost. Now she's on her third marriage at 12 years of age to Colin Jost. These poor kids are going to be so screwed up. Oh, my God. I have a very odd point of view about the Jason Sudeikis, Olivia Wilde, Harry Styles situation. Here's my thing. They were engaged for 8 years and they had children. They did not get married. It's irresponsible and selfish. If you're going to have kids, you get married. If you find out you're pregnant, you go get married. The legal issues of not being married when you have a kid are insane. Good luck getting your kids through TSA at the airport. Good luck. But once you have those kids, you're done dating. Unless somebody's abusive in the relationship, once you have those kids, you're done dating. That's over now. You stay home and you take care of the kids and you watch Netflix. If you feel itchy, watch Hulu. That's it. That's what you do for the rest of your life. That's the deal. You have the blessing from God of children. God wants you to take care of those children and pay attention to those children. Don't go screwing around. I have to go find myself. You find yourself before you get pregnant. Before you impregnate a woman, you go find yourself. You don't do it once they've arrived. Once they've arrived, you have found yourself in the eyes and ears and hearts of those children. That's the job. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I enjoy being with you. Thank you so much. Kendall at KFBK, thank you very much for the Sterling Snap. Neil, thank you for the Sterling Snap. Russell, thank you for the Sterling Snap. And I'd love to see yours. Send me whatever you're looking at now. Take a picture of it with your overpriced cell phone and send it to me at waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Coming up, I will share with you the...
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The South can expect several soggy days, at least through Wednesday of this week. After a rain-soaked weekend, look for some more rain across Texas through Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, and on into Georgia, the Carolinas, and on up through the East Coast, including Pittsburgh, Philly, New York, and up into Boston and New England. Some of that rain will turn to some light snows in Massachusetts and some lake-effect snow flurries to the east of the Great Lakes. We'll see a half inch of rain in Dallas, 1 to 2 inches of rain in Atlanta, Memphis, Nashville, a half inch in the nation's capital, New York, even Florida gets into the act. Walt's daughter will see about an inch or two up in Syracuse, New York. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm award-winning broadcast journalist and legend Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. This is The Usual Edition, the exact same newscast every day from Public Radio. Public Radio is your source for all things Swedish. At Public Radio, we prefer news from foreign countries. That's why we have 18 reporters on the floor of the Golden Globes.
Oh my gosh, oh, I'm so... Thank you so much to the Hollywood Foreign Press and to the other beautiful four nominees who were in my category. I admire you all so much.
So much honest sincerity. In Hollywood, if you can fake that, you've got it made. Our donors appreciate a good laugh and a hearty handshake.
This edition of The Usual Edition is made possible by the generosity of our corporate donors, like Randy Andy's Pork Bellies, and a generous gift from the Field family. When you want to be outstanding in your field, follow a field to the middle of the corn and try not to step on anything squishy. And by generous listeners with credit cards like you. Not debit cards, no, no, credit cards.
The Usual Edition is produced with ribbon microphones. Not the kind that come with your Disney toys, but actual microphones, and not those blue or silly snowball ones. Wheel microphones. This is not a podcast or a hobby.
So much response to the reports from our gifted blind journalist, Hazy Jim. Jim, would you please give us your personal thoughts this week in your new feature, Blind Man's Diary?
I'm blind, and this is my diary. At Public Radio, I am at the top of the food chain because I am blind. Other people, like the depressed, left-handed, do not get the freedom given to me. I was near an intern. I knew she was an intern because she was wearing Chanel number 5. All interns wear Chanel number 5 because they steal it from their rich mother who got them the job after they are promoted to production assistant. They wear cheap cologne from the mall because they start living with their loser boyfriend, who is a community college adjunct professor who meets his students in a car because he can't afford an office, a used Volvo. But these interns have remarkable breasts, which I accidentally feel. What happens? Nothing. I'm blind. The freedom of a blind man. I'm Hazy Jim, and this is my diary.
Hand me the awards. I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. All credit cards, Venmo, and PayPal are accepted.
11 past the hour, 11 past the hour. My Midnight Misfits, welcome. Welcome in. You and I belong with each other. Normal people, day people, they don't get it. They don't know why anybody would do a radio show at midnight. They don't know why anybody would listen to a radio show at 9 p.m. But that's who we are. I hate mornings. Worse, I hate people who love mornings, who say, you know, it'd be great if you got up earlier. No, it would be great if you stayed up later. Well, you know, I've decided to become a vegetarian. No, you should eat more meat. 888-688-WALT. And the guys who say you should get up earlier, they're always in sales. They're always in the sales department. Never has a disc jockey said you should get up earlier Every morning man I know hates getting up at that hour. Every sales guy I know loves to get up at that hour. It makes no sense. I've been in at radio stations and media companies where the boss gets in at 6 a.m. to do what? Harvest wheat? There's no wheat for you to harvest in a media company. It's a bizarre thing. Barry in Utah, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Hello, Barry.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
So, what is progressive rock music?
Progressive rock music based in the 60s. The best way I can define it in the 60s, what got it started was the long version of Light My Fire by The Doors. The long version. That was like, whoa, no top 40 station had played that. Or the long version of Sunshine of Your Love by Cream. Or what else? That stuff. It's that stuff. It's White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane. That was the beginning of it. That was the genesis of progressive rock.
So I think, yeah, I think like the definition of it is like music that starts in one way, but it ends in a totally different way.
Thank you very much for your call. 888-688-WALT. Lee in Philadelphia listening on WPHT. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hello, Walter.
Hey, buddy.
You've heard from me before, and I am a true misfit. So much so that I don't have a – I'm a techno retardo. The only way I can contact you is on the telephone.
Yes.
I don't have email or anything like that. And I think that last chap was right about the music, and you were one of the first to play Light My Fire when you had your first radio show.
On WFMU in East Orange, New Jersey. And I went to the radio station because I wanted the long version of Light My Fire. That is why I went to a radio station, so I could hear the long version of Light My Fire. Do you have anything else, Lee?
Yes, I do have a COVID tale.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
A true story. I got COVID in early January. And, you know, true to as advertised, I was sick as a dog, you know. And being a misfit, I guess, I talked to my doctor, and he said, well, you can get an experimental treatment that might knock it out of you completely, like, overnight. So, but you know, it's like an experimental thing. So I said, what the hell? You know, I'll do it. I'm not afraid to die. There's certainly worse things worse than death. And so I drove up. I'm in Philadelphia. I drove up to Reading, Pennsylvania, which is 60 miles from here. I drove up sick as a dog, and I got in this chair, and they had this bag hanging over my head of sonic chemicals. I don't know what it was. And it dripped into my vein for 2 hours. And then I drove away, and the next day I felt fantastic. So I called my doctor, and I said, you know, it worked. It was great. He said, it's the same thing that they gave President Trump. I said, how did I get it?
What was it?
Some kind of antibodies. I don't know. I can't pronounce it. Even the doctor couldn't pronounce it. Anyway, it was like one word. It sounds like an acronym. I think it starts with AMB or something. And anyway, the point is, it could have been anything, but it worked. So now I'm absolutely fine.
Well, I'd like to know why the hell I can't get a vaccine. I'm delighted you got
it. It was
cure.
Only, you know, Walter, it was only $80. It only cost me $80. You should call Reading Hospital. I don't know where you're in. Are you in Jersey or something?
No, but it's a trip to get to Reading Hospital. But anyway, listen, Lee, you've called me before. You're a great caller and a great listener and a good friend. Thank you very much for being a part of Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Coming up in just seconds, Velo Hool with American Radio's only fishing report. Sterling on Sunday.
It's Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. March is exciting for fish fans because it's shipping season. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Let's go, go. Let's go, go, go with Chip Bob's Gold.
Now back to America's favorite network radio program, Sterling on Sunday.
And it's on. When you have as many fish aquariums as I have, you get a lot of fish. So what do you do with them? Well, there's so many pet stores. There's like fish club meetings you can go to auctions to sell your fish that way. But I sell a lot of my fish online. And you have to create a box, a wonderful box, a box that's insulated and sturdy enough to ship those fish across this great nation of yours. Now, some people do ship internationally. I do not. It's kind of a pain in the butt. I just ship to the lower 48 states, and boy, do I ship. Give you what I have coming up. I'm sending stuff to Frederick, Maryland, and to San Pedro, California. So I have fish going all over the place, and by the end of March, I will be a boxing fool every Sunday as I'm listening to Sterling on Sunday, because you got to box those fish and get them off to the exciting post office as they make their way to their new homes and their new aquarium abodes. It's as exciting as it gets when you're a member of the fish family. From Maine to La Jolla to my living room, this is Sterling on Sunday Fishing Report. I'm Deadliest Catcher, Velo Hool.
Now, who else has a fishing report? Anybody? No. That's why you need to listen to us. Plus, coming up in just seconds, we're going to have the drive-through brew, the information you need about the drive-through brew. What's going on in the drive-through? You know what it is? It's a beer barn. You ever see a beer barn? They're in North Carolina, the outskirts of Philadelphia. They're around the country, but there aren't a lot of them. There's one in Parma Heights, Ohio, on Pearl Road. It's a house, and instead of having a garage, it has an open hole, and you drive around the back, you drive through the beer barn, and what do you find? You are surrounded by beer and cigarettes and T-shirts and really interesting lanyards and keychains. I love them. We'll have a report from inside the drive-thru brew coming up in seconds. But I want to share with you what I did this weekend. I had a great weekend. I really had a fantastic weekend. First, Meredith, my 15-year-old, oh God, what is she? 15 and a half. She just got her temps, just got her driver temporary license. And she's very excited about that. But more importantly, she has been rehearsing for months ballet. And she came up with a ballet routine and entered into competitive dance. They don't give participation trophy in these competitions. You have to work and earn. And what she did was incredible. She is a beautiful, skilled, gifted ballerina. My Meredith is a jewel, a gem, a wonderful kid, even though she dyes her hair purple. But it was incredible. She went into this competition. I posted the pictures on Facebook. They're beautiful photographs. She's a beautiful girl. Even though I'm the dad, it's a fact. And when she dances and when she does ballet, it's really remarkable to see. She's a gifted performer. It's on Facebook, Meredith. She came in ready, second place, in a big competition with a lot of kids, no participation trophies. She earned this. It's remarkable. These competitions and things that some kids can get into where everybody gets a trophy, that does them no favor. When they go to a school or they're in a classroom situation where there are no grades, it's pass-fail, nobody's doing them a favor. Kids need to know where they stand. This nonsense, and it is nonsense, of letting a kid choose their own curriculum when they're 8 and choosing what they want to learn when they're 10 and structuring their own day. No, that's ridiculous, because the most important thing to remember is that kids know nothing. They know nothing. They like what things taste. Maybe they can choose foods. Beyond that, they don't know a thing. It's our job to teach them and to be like the bumpers and bumper cars. Otherwise, kids just keep driving around and bump into things and bump into things. I am not saying you need to be a disciplinarian. I'm just saying you're there to help them. Our job is to help the kids learn and to point them in the direction of success. When I go to these PTO, PTA meetings and I hear these idiots going on and on about, well, you know, our job is to make sure that they understand this and this. No, no. Our job in the schools and with our kids is to get them into Harvard, in every school, the goal should be to make those kids so attractive to Harvard that they fight over them. That should be the goal. I hear all this other nonsense. I'm like scratching my head. What are you talking about? That was Saturday. And Meredith was in the competition. She came in second. It was an elaborate routine. She went with her 18-year-old sister who helped her. And her mother who helped her. Did I just have gas? Yeah. Okay, then I'll tell you what I did. What I did all weekend was this. Oh, what'd I do? What did I do? I had one button to push once. What did I do? This is what I did. I watched Kim's Convenience. Kim's Convenience is this great series on Netflix. It's about a Korean family that owns a Korean convenience store, Kim's Convenience, in Canada. It's going into its fifth season. It's an incredibly successful Canadian comedy. What's wonderful about it is we haven't seen any Korean families before. This is what the dialogue's like with the kid and dad.
The black guy?
Jenny, don't be racist.
What?
You see guy in back?
Yeah.
What you think? Steal or no steal?
He saw him take something?
No, because he just no steal. He just no steal because he's a black guy, brown shoes.
He's not going to steal because he's a black guy with brown shoes on?
Black guy, brown shoes, that's a no steal. That's a cancel out combo.
Cancel out combo, got it.
One day you take over store, you have to know steal or no steal.
I'm not taking over the store ever.
White guy, white shoes, that's a steal. Brown woman, blue jacket, that's a no steal. But the lesbian, that's a girl who is the gay. If she's a whistling, she's a steal. But two lesbian, surprise, no steal. Even if a whistling, cancel out combo.
What about a fat Asian gay man with long straight hair and a black lesbian with a ponytail and cowboy boots? Together, steal or no steal?
That's impossible.
What's impossible?
The fat Asian gay.
Abba, there are Asians who are gay, you know.
I know, but the gay Asian is never fat. Only skinny Asian is a gay. That's a rule. That's how they're doing like what? That. Yeah.
It's a brilliant show. It's called Kim's Convenience. It's on Netflix. There are four seasons of it up. It's about a Korean family that owns a convenience store. They live above the convenience store, and they have two very young adult children. I think one of them's 18, the other one's like 28. It's a fantastic show. What did I do all weekend? I sat there and I watched every episode for four seasons. And this isn't some, you know, British thing with 12 episodes. They're like 30 episodes for each season. I watched every one. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's called Kim's Convenience, and it's on Netflix. Coming up, I've got the drive-through brew for you, plus Vic Ferrari and his New York City detective stories. It's a big show tonight, isn't it? Live, Sterling on Sunday.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. March 1st, tomorrow, is the beginning of meteorological spring, although the rest of us look for spring on the calendar in about 3 weeks. Mother Nature is right on schedule, and we'll see some rapid warm-ups Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Minneapolis, for example, goes from 25 degrees tomorrow to 45 on Tuesday, with 70 degrees in Dodge City, Kansas, 61 in St. Louis by Wednesday. Temperatures will be 5 to 25 degrees above average later this week. It looks like a warmer than average March throughout most of the country, except for the Pacific Northwest. Fairbanks, Alaska, we haven't forgotten about you. Look for afternoon highs this week in the single digits and overnight lows approaching 10 to 20 degrees below zero. It's going to take spring a little while longer up there. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm J.J. Wilson with another edition of Drive Through Brew, the never-ending story of two unassuming guys who sell beer, snacks, and T-shirts at a drive-through near you. Let's listen in, shall we, as the manager reprimands his inattentive employee, Jake.
Jake, didn't I tell you to put down your phone and help the customers?
Sorry, I was checking the price of my bitcoins.
Bitcoins? Since when do you own any?
Since I was about 15 and helped a guy change his tire. He sent me 10 of them as a thank you. They weren't worth much back then.
They're not worth much now, are they?
Let's see, the price this minute is more than $47,000.
What?
And I own 10, so...
Hold me up. I think I'm gonna... Oh.
What will happen when the manager regains consciousness? Listen next week when he says...
Jake, old buddy, did I tell you that my parakeet needs an operation?
That's next time on a special apple-polishing edition of Drive-Thru Brew. Did he say 47,000?
37 past the hour. 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Very exciting to be with you, as you can imagine. Now, let's see. I'm adjusting these headphones. This is the first time I've ever had so much trouble with my headphones. There we go. I want to thank Charles, Norm M., John P., for their Sterling snaps. Wait, there are more? We got a lot. I got a lot. Yes, a lot of sleeping cats. Wayne B., Neil Paul. Thank you, Neil. Kendall. Kendall, always an honor to know you and work with you at KFBK. John P., and of course, yeah, of course, where is it? I'm very organized. It just doesn't always seem that way. And Jay Breeze. Thank you very much, Mr. Breeze. If you want to send me a Sterling snap, here's what you do. You take your overpriced cell phone, you take a picture of whatever you're looking at right now, as long as you're not moving. If you're moving in a car, don't take a picture. Email it to me right now at waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. I will post it on Facebook during the week. You will also see on Facebook, at the beginning of the show, I had my daughter, who's 18 and is starting college and has been quarantined ever since she was in college. I have a picture of her to put up there. And my Meredith, who's 15, who came in second in a major competition. I had the best weekend, a ballet competition. I had the best weekend. You know what I did this weekend? I spent the weekend watching Kim's Convenience. Kim's Convenience is a comic show out of Canada. It's about a family that owns a convenience store, clever, and they're Korean. It is the funniest show on television, and it has some other benefits. I could understand every word. Nobody is speaking British. Nobody gets killed. Nobody gets hacked. It's just funny. The dynamics of the family and their relationship with each other and the relationships with the outside world, it's brilliant. Kim's Convenience on Netflix. Watch it now. No, they're not paying me to do this. They should be paying, but it's great. I was forced to go to a family event this weekend. And what I do at family events when there are a lot of people there, like, you know, there were a number of people there, but they were all wearing their masks. What I do is I go to a corner. I take a magazine or a book or in the old days a newspaper, and I sit in the corner. And I read it until my current wife says it's time to go. In family situations, no husband says it's time to go. We don't dare say it's time to go. Because it's always the woman who said, let's do this. And then you don't get to say, I'm going to do it or not. You just go. What I have found is that if I interact with the other people at these events, I'm in trouble till Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving of 2028, I will have to hear about whatever thing I said for the rest of my life, because obviously it's horrendous, whatever I could say. I sit in the corner. I read a newspaper. Every now and then some kid, one of the kids will say, What are you doing, Uncle Walter? What are you doing there? And I'm like, I'm reading the newspaper. That's how I handle social events, because I'm a misfit. If I stood up and interacted, I wouldn't do well. I'm an introvert and a misfit. Now, one of the things I noticed, and have noticed from time to time at events like this, is a crying baby. And the way most parents try to deal with a crying baby, to me, is insane. When a crying baby is crying, what the baby wants, in my experience, is silence. They don't want to be jumped up and down. If you were trying to go to sleep and somebody like started bouncing you, would you fall asleep? No, you'd be terrified. And if you're a little kid, you'd be more terrified. What a kid wants is you go to a dark room in the house, you shut the door, make sure it's a cool room. The baby needs to be wrapped up well so it's warm, but the room should be cool. Dr. Oz always says, make sure the room is cool. If you want to go to sleep, cool the room. I sleep in a 50-degree room every night, and I'm fine. You go to a cool room, wrap up the baby, and be quiet. Just be quiet and still. And the baby will fall asleep quickly. You want to rock the baby? You want to bounce it around? It's not going to fall asleep. You wouldn't fall asleep. The single most horrendous action, the single trend, the dumbest trend I have ever seen or heard of, is putting the baby in the crib, shutting the door, and letting it cry itself to sleep. It's a horrible experience for the baby and the parent. And the reason it's horrible for the parent is you have to override all your instincts to let that happen. And I believe that we were born with the correct instincts. Baby cries, you pick it up. Hold it tight in a quiet room. That's it. You want to sing a little? Okay, sing quietly. But this is where parents screw up. I was at some event with family, and I saw like an uncle who I didn't know with the newborn, and it was walking around and talking, and the baby wouldn't stop crying and wouldn't stop crying. I finally said to him, listen, in my experience, if you want that baby to go to sleep, you take it into the quietest, darkest room you can find here and sit. And that baby will go to sleep right away. And that's what happens. The biggest challenge to any parent listening right now is getting the baby to go to sleep. My experience is you want the baby to go to sleep. You hold it tight so it feels safe. You wrap it in a warm cloth, in a warm blanket. You sit in a dark room, a cool room, and just sit and be still and be quiet and meditate. You don't go rocking it. You don't go doing stupid things. And God's sakes, do not leave the baby in a room by itself and letting it scream its head off. That is the single dumbest method, and it's a popular method. I would never do it. I just won't do it. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is a live radio show on Sunday night. It's 3 hours. It is a three-hour radio show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the East Coast, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the West Coast. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. My name is Walter Sterling. I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. I want to see what you're looking at. Take a Sterling snap, send it to me. I post them on Facebook. I got a lot of them tonight. Thank you for that. I have a Facebook account, Walter M. Sterling. I have a podcast. We're multimedia, multi-platform. This is a multi-platform dynamic relationship. The name of the podcast is Midnight Misfits. That's you. Midnight Misfit. It's available on Apple, iTunes. And I thank you for being part of the show. 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. It's 46 past the hour. Sterling on Sunday.
Where you're hearing things.
Where you're hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat. How you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story I'm working on. So it never ceases to amaze me why cops often take other cops' advice so blindly, no matter how ridiculous it is. You would think that with the naturally suspicious mind of a police officer, they'd be mad, they'd be immune to making bad decisions. But it happens all the time. I've seen NYPD members getting involved in everything from Ponzi schemes to stealing gasoline from the precinct fuel pumps because an NYPD member told them it was okay. So early in my NYPD career, my partner comes to me and he says, who does your taxes? So like most 21-year-olds, I hadn't given my tax preparer's resume much thought. I says, I go to H&R Block. He goes, you're out of your mind, blah, blah, blah. And I says, well, why? I give him 40 bucks and, you know, I'm in and out in a half hour. He goes, no. He goes, go see my guy, Julius I. Kaufman, certified public accountant. He got me back $8,000. I said, $8,000? I mean, $8,000 was an incredible amount of money in like 1987 for a cop making $25,000 a year. As a matter of fact, it sounded outrageous until my partner said, oh, go see Jules. He does every cop in the Bronx and Manhattan, and you won't be sorry. I said, all right. I make an appointment with this guy, and a month later, I'm sitting in his busy office out in Long Island, and the place is like Grand Central Station. There's people coming and going. There's more cops in there than Grand Central Station or, Bronx Central booking on a Friday night. So I'm sitting there, and I hear, Ferrari. So I walk over, and it's this little short guy with bulging eyes and crazy hair, and I go, hi, Mr. Kaufman. He goes, Jules. He shakes my hand. I said, is it okay to do my tax? Yes, come in. So he walks me into his office. It looks like a bomb went off, and he sticks his hand in his pocket, and he pulls out a stack of PBA cards, and he starts shuffling through it like a magician doing a trick. He pulls out a card. He goes, 49 Precinct, you know Jerry Rivera? I said, no, can't say that I do. Starts shuffling it again, pulls out another PBA card, 25 Precinct, you know Yvette Cologne? I said, no, I don't. I says, Mr. Kaufman, I really don't have a lot of time today. Could we please get to my taxes? So I'm sitting there, and he's just quoting dead presidents and speaking in non sequiturs, and he was like a Svengali that could convince you of anything. So he's going through my paperwork, and he goes, kids, do you have kids? And I said, no, I don't. You know, you can write off kids. I said, oh, yeah, but I don't have kids. He goes, do you go to the range? I said, yeah. He goes, how many times a year? I go, well, I go shooting about two times a year. He goes, so you spend about $750 on ammo and range for you. I said, no, more like 50. So now I'm starting to get nervous that this guy's a crackpot. So the next thing you know, he says, I'm asking him a lot of questions, and he's getting pissed off at me. So finally, he goes, listen, Ferrari, we've come to the proverbial fork in the road. Do you want the 5-0 blue plate special, or do you want me to put the pedal to the metal? So now I'm realizing this guy's a shyster, and I don't want to get in any trouble. I said, look, Jules, I just want my taxes done. I'll pay whatever it costs. I don't want any problems. I want this done correctly. He goes, all right, Alter Boy, no problem. So he sends me on my way. So that year I spent $400, what H&R Block probably would have done for 40. I got the same money back as H&R Block, but I could sleep nights because the guy did my taxes correctly. Well, about a year later, a funny thing happened. Scores of NYPD members started getting audited by the IRS because a couple of months earlier, the IRS got a search warrant for Jules' office and audited him, and he wound up going to jail, and probably half the NYPD got audited for tax returns. So that's a story from my new book. Be sure to check out the NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Cassie C., thank you for this great picture of your dog. This is a beautiful dog. I've asked you, and there's Sue and Crew Cut and Jay Breeze. I've gotten terrific pictures tonight. Send me a snap of whatever you're looking at. I love to see them. And then I put them up on Facebook under Walter M. Sterling. And then you can all see it. You can all share in this bonding experience. It's a remarkable radio show as we drive across Route 80, up I-4 in Florida, up and down the 101 and the 5 in California, and the New Jersey Turnpike. With the trolls. Oh, tolls. It's unbelievable. All right, so as I was telling you, I've been watching Kim's Convenience, which is a terrific show about a convenience store in Florida. In Canada, it is hysterical. Worth watching.
The black guy?
Jenny, don't be racist.
What?
You see guy in back?
Yeah.
What you think? Steal or not steal?
You saw him take something?
No, because he don't know steal. He's a no steal because he's a black guy, brown shoes.
He's not going to steal because he's a black guy with brown shoes on?
Black guy, brown shoes, that's a no steal. That's a cancel out combo.
Cancel out combo, got it.
One day you take over store, you have to know steal or no steal.
I'm not taking over the store ever.
White guy, white shoes, that's a steal. Brown woman, blue jacket, that's a no steal. But the lesbian, that's a girl who is the gay. If she's a whistling, she's a steal. But two lesbian, surprise, no steal. Even if a whistling, cancel out combo.
What about a fat gay man with long straight hair and a black lesbian with a ponytail and cowboy boots? Together, steal or no steal?
That's impossible.
What's impossible?
The fat Asian gay.
Papa, there are Asians who are gay, you know.
I know, but the gay Asian is never fat. Only skinny Asian is a gay. That's a rule. That's how they're doing like what? That. Yeah.
888-688-WALT is my phone number. We're live on Sunday night. Nothing else is live at this time. A lot of talk about Britney Spears, a lot of chatter about Britney Spears. The fascinating thing about Britney Spears is that every one of us has had to reconcile one thing, and this is why it haunts us. Everything about Britney haunts us. We've all had to reconcile how we felt the first time we saw the video of Oops, I've Done It Again. The video where she's in a Catholic schoolgirl outfit surrounded by other girls in Catholic schoolgirl outfits. Gee, she's cute and adorable. How old is she? She's 16. We've all had to reconcile how we felt at that moment because it's an eternal moment. And then, more than any other rock star of our time, she acted out like a rock star. She was always rebellious. She was always cute and hot, but at the same time acted out. She had kids really young. She got married twice really young. She drove with her kid in her lap in the car, and it got photographed. And then she shaved off her head. I'm Walter Sterling. The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.